at the end of the day, they don't have enough blue chip talent. There's not enough top line talent on this roster to truly be one of the most feared in the NFC.
We're assuming one and done in the playoffs this year, right?
I don't know where I'm going.
In my heart of hearts, I think they're going to lose by double digits against Philly.
Kind of a sloppy game all in all. Far too many miscues.
Every single game, we've got to do better. Look in the mirror, Matt LaFleur.
Jordan Love is still not right.
The message after the game was everybody was still together, not pointing fingers. You're doing that heading into the playoffs may not be the greatest sign.
Never seem to find what I'm looking for.
Jordan Love from last year is gone. This guy, he still looks like a second-year player.
If the Packers can't win, I need to have an emotional investment in another team.
You know who all the pressure is on in this game? To walk it on, the
Lord is free. Showtime, baby.
It ain't the pack.
Love steps up.
Wide open, Jaden Reed. Goodbye. Touchdown, Packers. 70 yards.
Touchdown, Wicks wide open. Green Bay takes the early lead.
This isn't the plucky underdog story.
Hurts from the end zone. Intercepted. Taken away by Xavier McKinney.
Jacobs, he does not go down. Touchdown, Jacobs.
Just another example of many of Josh Jacobs making people miss.
Those curtains are coming open and the lights are going to come on and you're going to get exposed or you're going to showcase yourself.
Some new faces, a new team. Can't live on what we might have did last year against Cowboys.
Guys got to be dialed in and truly play each play as if it were your last.
Whoever wins this game Sunday is going to go to the Super Bowl.
We got
to
go out there and do it again.
Touchdown, Green Bay!
The triumphant return of Johnny Montage. Not gonna lie, wasn't expecting Whitesnake. But David Coverdale, gosh darn it, you sure can belt it out. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. All right, my little window that shows me is covering up old boy, so I got to be able to see his smiling face from his undisclosed location. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio. Go Pack Go with that shirt. Nice. Is that
looks
one of the
slim
shirts that didn't fit before but now
looks
does
very
thanks
slimming
to Madison
Weight
Loss?
Couldn't fit this 4 months ago. Sure can now.
Except for your mom's opinion. And from an undisclosed location, which appears to be a hotel room somewhere on the planet, it is the Packers Hall of Fame. Oh, now we got the thumbs down. They're back. The emojis are back. If you're watching on the video stream, there it is again.
Why is
it reading your mind?
I hope not. It wouldn't be thumbs down if that was the
I hope
case.
Not, too. It is the Packers Hall of Famer and the man who predicted that the Green Bay Packers are going to the Super Bowl.
No, not yet.
If I wasn't done.
You of all people.
You interrupted me. There was another phrase coming, which is, if they beat the Eagles on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. Had a great day at work yesterday. One of my favorite days at work I've had in a long time. We did have some fun with Jeff Hafley, but we did also get to bestow the Tom Mulhern Stand-Up Guy Award, which is obviously something Mully, who was my biggest mentor and also one of Sydney's godfathers who passed away in 2014. The award is named for him. We give it every year to the players who help us do our jobs best. I'm telling you this, if we had it back when old boy was playing, he would have won it. Not later in his career because he would just avoid us, but it's a really, really important thing to me. And I want to thank Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney not only for being great with us all season and also setting examples for younger players on how to deal with the media, but
I believe Nate LoCascio, who is on the Packers PR staff, tipped them off to what the award means to me personally. They were both great, and so thank you to them a ton. All right, so Packers-Eagles on Sunday.
Great montage, by the way. Was that the first montage of the season, or did we do one in the opener?
There was one ahead of the opener, but there haven't been any throughout the rest of the season. It's been
because it's just been kind of
business as
usual. Wait, is that uncommon?
We usually have a couple montage. Big game like Detroit, I thought maybe would have been montage worthy. But
I gotta say, I'm impressed with the way that you managed to compliment him and then point out that he probably should have done more montages.
No. That was not my intention. Normally there's more than two montages. Maybe it's as the postseason continues on, maybe there'll be more.
Sure.
Obviously, if we make a Super Bowl run, there will be a montage before that. But, Jesse, that's one of the best things you do. That was outstanding. Gives you a good snippet of all of the ESPN Wisconsin personalities, kind of thoughts on the season. You get Matt LaFleur. You get a good snapshot of where we've been and where we're going and where we're at currently. And I like that. Well done.
Jesse, as you were going through that process, I like the way you split up my line about, you know who the pressure's on. It ain't the Packers. Did it increase, decrease, or not impact at all your hopes and confidence for Sunday, as I believe the Packers have now moved back to being a 5-point underdog as the money has come in on ESPN Bet at Pottawatomi Hotel and Casino at their sports book. Did your montaging change in any way your thought process?
So I'll tell you this. I have a bank, whenever I do these montages, I have a bank of songs on my phone that I just keep a note running of. And so when I hear a good one, whether it's on Spotify or on the radio or when I'm walking into Quick Trip, like I'll just jot the song down and go back and refer to it later on. And I was working this week to put this together. None of them made sense. Like I didn't plan on going Whitesnake until sometime yesterday, because quite frankly, none of the songs that I had prepared fit the vibe of where I think we all stand. Like a lot of times it's hype, it's excitement, it's let's go get it. And limping into the playoffs with losses to the Vikings and the Bears has definitely shifted the conversation the last couple of weeks. But I think what I tried to capture there was, yes, there's a lot of flaws that we see in the Green Bay Packers. I've seen them too. But also, it's a team that's played really well all season long against inferior competition. And they pulled off an upset last year in the opening round of the playoffs. Who's to say they can't pull it off again this year? So, yes.
Bigger dogs, too. They were bigger dogs last year.
Exactly, yes. So I would say I'm more excited after putting that all together and sitting down, putting our show sheet together last. Like, I'm very excited for Sunday afternoon.
That it was really good. I have to admit, the thought was crossing my mind of Tawny Kitaen on top of that vehicle in the video back in 1987. Pretty memorable scene in that video on MTV. But I ask you this, Tausch, because you just made what's an interesting point, but I would juxtapose it against my back and forth with LaFleur, I think, yesterday, which is they may have been bigger dogs last year, but didn't you feel better about their chances? I mean, we can check the tape, as you like to say, but I know that I was much more, I think they
pull
can
it.
Do this
pull it,
than
Jesse.
I am this year.
Yeah, pull it. No, I felt better last year.
Yeah, me too.
I did. And I think part of it is, obviously, they are playing better. They beat the Bears, and it wasn't like, if you recall last year, it wasn't like it was a great effort against the Bears at home last year, right? I mean, they beat Chicago, and it was but it was choppy. It wasn't where we're humming on all cylinders, Jason. Unless I'm misremembering things, I don't recall our offense humming through the Bears that day. I don't.
So I do remember very vividly Matt LaFleur. In fact, I was looking at this story the other day, sprinting onto the field as time was expiring to hug Jordan Love. In that game, Dontavian Wicks, if you recall, had two touchdown catches. Jordan Love was 27 of 32 for 316 yards, two tutters, no picks, a passer rating of 128.6.
What was the score, though? I'm not saying you're not going to get me to argue that Jordan Love was playing a heck of a lot better at the end of the season last year. I've been on that.
It was only 17-9.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was not like I think offensively you felt a lot better, and then everybody was the Joe Barry component and everything else. But I think if Jesse throws this pole in the field, Packer fans were a lot more optimistic last year. And part of it, too, is there was no expectation. Last year was the house money playoffs. And I didn't think we would have another house money playoff season. I thought we'd be more favorites this year. And with the fact that we're not, have we gotten our head wrapped around that we're in the exact same position as we were last year, even though everybody, I believe, thinks this is a better team? I don't have the same level of confidence that I had last year, thinking, even though Dallas was a really good home team last year, you felt like this team on offense was a lot better than they are this year. That's kind of where I'm at as we sit here today.
I would agree. And unfortunately, Matt LaFleur did not really like my line of questioning to this effect, because, you know, I got the "I respect the question," which loosly translated
is "all due respect,
I blank and hate your question, you blankety blank." But I asked him about the vibe last year as it compares to the vibe this year. And he was not a fan. You guys do this.
Jason, what do you expect him to say? No, our vibe was 100 times better last year. We're limping in and playing half blanket right now. Like, what do you expect him to say?
No, but what I was driving at, which I thought was the important point, which it got lost in the wash. I totally get it. Is that if you don't, because look, let's be honest. Last year, if you asked him if he believed in momentum, he would not have said no.
Correct.
He wouldn't have. He would have said yes, because they had it.
Because it was good.
This year, earlier in the week, I think it was Domofsky, "Do you believe in momentum?" "No." "No. Each game is itself." "No, really?" Interesting. That's because you have none. But my point was basically, or at least my intent was, you know, when you go through last season and you're feeling the way you are going into the playoffs and you don't have the three-game winning streak to go into this year, how do you get that vibe back during the course of the week so you can go into Philadelphia with the same kind of confidence and we're going to stick it to these blankety blanks, etc.? And again, I hate the comparison, guys. Okay, but you know that it's in your mind too. And my point was, how do you, because look, and you know this after games, and I know it subsides, but like, that locker room after they lost to the Bears, they were disappointed, downtrodden, and pissed off. Now, sometimes being pissed off is a great thing, right? It's a great motivational tool. But that the locker room vibe was not great, Bob. And the question I have is, through the course of the week, and you tell me this, because you surely had to do this at times, how do you get it back? Sharp practices? Johnny montages? How do you get it back? Because I loved how they were. I remember vividly the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday locker room before they went to Dallas. It was loose. It was confident. Guys were joking around.
What is it now? What is it today?
I don't know what it'll be today, but yesterday and Wednesday, it was kind of meh. Like, there wasn't music. I didn't hear music playing. Like, there weren't guys, they weren't doing that stupid head fake game that they play. Like, there was no, it just didn't feel juicy. And as I've learned from Jaden Reed,
no juice.
If you got no juice, then I got no use for you or something. If you're juiceless, you're useless.
What would be the word you'd use to describe the locker room this week?
Even keeled. I stood by Romeo Doubs for a while. I don't know. It's just sort of there. Like, there's not a, like, you know, and I'm sure part of it is.
Is there a belief? Is there a belief in that locker room that these boys can do what we're asking them to do?
I don't think it's fair to them to say no just because I maybe have a bias toward how I'm interpreting their behavior.
But you maybe interpreted it correctly last year.
I did. But you know, maybe the attitude is, all right, we've been here before. There's not the same giddiness. Maybe that's part of it too, right?
Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney haven't been there before.
They've each been to the playoffs once, but not last year. Not very often. They're a group unto themselves.
So, Jason, here's what I would say. I think there's the excitement last year of kind of building, and the season started off so poorly, and a real sense of accomplishment, right? And there's something about that builds confidence and everything else. This is not a seasoned veteran group. This is a group that I think had bigger expectations. The win kind of got pulled out of it after Detroit when you realized you weren't winning the division. You bounced back. You were pros. But even with all that, you never – even going into Seattle, I think you played one of your better games of the year. Then you limp in. You don't play well against Minnesota for three quarters. And then you have a full game. You don't play well against Chicago. Your confidence isn't where it needs to be, and you don't fake that. Like, you don't. What you do, to answer your question, is – you understand it's all a new season. Everybody's regular season is dead. How do you approach with a new enthusiasm, unlike any other mankind? And if you do that, that's why I think getting off to a good start is so important this week, because it sounds like it's fragile. Maybe that locker room's fragile, and that is not a good thing. You don't want a fragile. You want an hardened football locker room. You want a group that is been through it and understands the ups and downs. And when you said even keel, I'm like, all right, I'm good with that. You don't want a fragile group where it's like you're looking for the shoe to drop and then that's it. That's what you're trying to avoid. So I don't need you dancing and having the time of your lives, but you're a seven seed. You have nothing to lose. Nobody thinks you're going into Philly and winning. I bet you there's going to be 50-60% of Packer fans. I'm not even sure. You mean I'm a homer. I'm not sure which way I'm going yet. So when you look at this whole deal, it is the matter of flipping the switch and just saying, we just got to go out. We know we're a good football team. We have to get this other stuff cleaned up. And it's tough mentally to keep reminding yourself of that when you have not proven it to yourselves throughout 17 weeks.
Yeah. We'll talk more about Packers Eagles as we get you ready for Sunday's NFC wild card at Lincoln Financial Field. I got a nice text from Gina Della, who enjoyed my suggestion that she pose for photographs and sign autographs while she was at State Fair Park at the Hope Show. And I hope that it's going well for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And just like I hope you're not dealing with seasonal affect disorder this
winter. Happy New Year means a lot of rough days ahead for those who do suffer from that seasonal affective disorder. It's gray. It's snowy out today. Frigid days. We all just want to be snuggly and warm at our crib. And Pella can make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But hurry up, this offer ends January 31st, so visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply, but the Hope Show, the Home and Hope Show. It's the home show, but there's a ton of hope if you get these new windows and doors. Head on out there. Pella's going to be there all weekend out at State Fair Park. Gina will be there from 3 to 4:30, be a big TV and billboard star. Sounds like she will take autographs and she will take photos, all of that good stuff, if you head out there. And I found out, I complained a little bit. Gina, to her credit, told me, booth 416, which I believe, in an ironic twist, is a Pittsburgh area code. But don't quote me on that. Might be 412, but I believe it's a 416. So booth 416 out at the Hope and Home Show out at State Fair Park. Again, head on out there this weekend to find out all the great stuff that Pella's got going on.
The 416.
Narrator.
The 416 area code
is Toronto.
It's Toronto, Canada.
Well, that's the Pittsburgh of Canada. it not?
I feel like that's Plankster. I think Calgary would be the
Plankster, help us out. Is Pittsburgh Toronto of Canada?
In fairness to old T, once again, 412 is the Pittsburgh area code.
Oh, it's off by four numbers. Okay, it's close.
And about, I don't know, how many miles?
That's 700. A good hike.
Same time zone.
Yeah, it is true.
I gotta get to Montreal. Right. That's, if there's one spot in Canada you want to go visit, where you guys want to go? I want to go to Canada.
Vancouver.
I want to go to Montreal.
I want to go to Vancouver.
What's the one right on the opposite side of Niagara Falls?
That's Windsor.
No, that's on the other side of Detroit.
Toronto's right on the other side of Niagara
Falls. It's not
Toronto. No, it is. Dude, there was a defensive end that played for the Buffalo Bills that lived in Toronto and took a limo every day to practice from Toronto.
We could continue to debate the 1 hour and 50-minute drive between Toronto. I did already. Toronto to Buffalo is a 1 hour and 50-minute drive.
Nah, it was less. He said like an hour and 10 or hour 20. Is it a defensive end from
Did you
Buffalo
play
Bills?
With him? Vaughn
I played
Booker?
Against him. Played against him. You can Google it. You'll find it.
I will. I'll work on that. Before we get into the hardcore Packers-Eagles preview, I had a little fun with Jeff Hafley yesterday. We'll play that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. This ain't a good time.
Couple of housekeeping items before we get to the Jeff Hafley show. One, per the Clinkster, Hamilton is the Pittsburgh of Canada.
Okay.
And that's the one that's right across, that's what I was trying to think of, by Niagara Falls.
I'm going to guess Chidi Ahanotu.
You're not guessing.
Guess.
Stop guessing.
No, that's my guess.
Is it really?
Yes. Played for Tampa, and I believe I blocked him a bunch when we were still in the same division, and then, which was, I think, a year or two.
You
and
looked it up.
No, I 100% didn't.
Grok?
No.
Did you ask Grok?
No. You know, I'm not at my undisclosed location, so I don't have access to as much stuff as I normally do.
You are correct. It was Chidi Ahanotu.
What a great name. Loved going against Chidi.
Chidi Bang Bang, am I right?
Competitor. Loved playing against Chidi.
He gets you a few times?
No. That's why I love playing against him. But what a fun way. I mean, he literally was like, I'm going to go experience some different stuff. I want to get. Now, that's a long drive every day.
Hour and 50 minutes. Chidi, I can't beat you.
I feel like Chidi had a different way. Maybe his limo was faster. But do you imagine every day? Car service, Buffalo, Toronto. Yeah, that'd be fun. They used to play games in Toronto. The Bills did.
In 1997, they played a game in Toronto in the preseason against the Bills, Packers-Bills.
No, I'm saying the Bills played regular season games in Toronto.
I don't know how long ago that was, but I'll fact check that for you. But
you can fact check. It's right.
Yeah.
Stuff was right.
Chidi Ahanotu. We got it. Yes, you're right. We will get to that. So we had a little bit of fun yesterday with Jeff Hafley. So about a month ago, Jeff
Hafley.
You
got a little man crush on old Half, don't you?
I think he and I have some connectivity. There's a spark.
You're gonna miss him when he goes to coach the Jaguars.
I literally said that after the press conference yesterday. Man, I'm gonna miss him next year when he's coaching the Jaguars. I literally said that because he's got some history with Trent Baalke. Because they were both at San Francisco at the same time. And resident Buffalo Bills fan Brian D. informs us late 2000s, early 2010s, you are correct, Buffalo Bills games in Toronto.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brian, for fact-checking us. It's almost as if you used to be a producer before you were a big deal. But
sounds like Tausch is on fire today.
He is. Yeah, there's no way he could sustain this.
No. It troubles me that I will forget the most mundane things, but I can remember
Chidi
a defensive end I blocked, and that he was the Toronto Buffalo. Like, it's troubling to me. Like, in fairness. All right, continue on your little
We don't joke about that. So anyway, about a month ago, he noticed that I wear different school sweatshirts every day. And so it was Oregon one day. It was I was wearing SMU one day. That was when he really commented. Then it was Virginia. Then last week, having sensed a pattern, I wore my Pittsburgh Panthers hoodie because he had coached there. I wanted to see if I'd get a reaction, and I did. And he said, "Do you have a Boston College one?" That would be sweet. Well, I do have one. There was one drawback to it, though.
A little snug. Probably a little snug.
It's an older hoodie. It's a large.
A little Madison Weight Loss Center.
Schedule your free consultation virtually. MadisonWeightLoss.com.
Hey, you doing all right? You're like a cat this week.
I've got a hairball.
Way to fight, though. You're competing. I love it.
I push through. I'm a grinder. So anyway,
Jesse'd be off for a month with that, just so we all are on the same page.
So I had to present the Mully Award yesterday, so that I was definitely not going to wear the Boston College Schmedium hoodie all day long. But so I changed into it for the press conference just for that.
God. Oh, boy.
I want to be clear on something before we go any further because you're rolling your eyes at me and you're pissing me off.
Here's the deal. How am I pissing you off?
Because you are.
Thinking that far ahead, it's I can't think something's funny. No, I have to sit there and say, oh, my. I think this whole scenario was funny.
You didn't laugh. You said, oh, my God. In fairness.
It's a bit outrageous in my book. But continue. I didn't interrupt you. I think it's
check
outrageous.
The tape.
Continue.
Oh, yeah. My God. I believe that there is a value in connecting with people, however you do it. And there are different ways to do it, certainly. You know, with Xavier McKinney, you compare him to Charles Woodson, and then he talks to you every day, right? Like, there are different ways that you connect with people. And the hoodie thing a fun little thing.
You schmooze.
If you want to call it that, fine. Anyway, so I squeeze into this Schmedium hoodie.
Was it tattered or is it pretty clean?
No, it's in pretty good. I take very good care, and it hasn't been worn in quite a while.
That's
fair. So it's in very good condition. Literally, Paula has it now to sell on Poshmark because it's way too tight. But be that as it may, I'm sitting in my seat, and Jeff Hafley was delayed coming in, and we know he was in the little green room, and I think it was because he was formulating, how am I going to answer the what the hell were you doing on the last defensive snap against the Bears when you lined up three safeties inside your own 30-yard line and allowed them to complete the pass in front of you?
Sure.
Okay? So he's preparing for that, and then he enters the room.
I really appreciate that today. I needed that. That is awesome. I got to weigh better. I got to get you. What size do you wear? You don't have to say that publicly. I shouldn't ask you that. Afterwards, tell me what size, because the Under Armour deal will get you a Nike one. That is really cool. You know what? You just made my day. So thank you for that. You're a good man. I appreciate it. I know, but I won't say that. You guys are great. It has been a fun year with you, and hopefully it will continue. But thank you, seriously. That's really cool that you did that. So go ahead. Ask about the last play of the game. Yeah, here's the deal. I've been very truthful with you guys, and I'm not going to go through this one in length. Matt addressed it. There was miscommunication. It's not the call we were supposed to be in. Certainly not at that time. Obviously frustrating, disappointing. Learn from it, move on, and we have. We're on to Philly. But I'm not going to sit here and get in the rehash all that, and I'm sorry that I can't do that. But he addressed it, and it clearly was not what we were supposed to be in. certainly. So miscommunication, not ideal with what we're going to be in. Disappointing, learn from it. Will never happen again. So learning experience.
So Tausch, when a coach says it's a miscommunication, put on your Tausch translator hat, because I feel like I can safely assume, tell me if I'm wrong, that that means he did not get the call communicated to the players because he's not dumb enough to line up the guys to defend a Hail Mary the way they were basically doing that, or am I wrong?
I think you're right, but I just, you know, first off, I respect how you go about your job, and I don't want to get all mushy with you. That is why you're a great reporter, because you do grease the skids a little bit and you get people comfortable so that they do feel like they'll give you more than maybe somebody else. I've said that for years.
You have.
I said that on Vinny and the Boys this morning. You know what you're doing. You have a way to maneuver, and what you did yesterday is what your job is. You got an answer to a question he obviously didn't want to really get into, and you did it with putting on an incredibly snug, it appears somewhat tattered shirt that the defensive coordinator feels like he needs to replace to help you. So kudos to you. You're getting a new sweatshirt out of it, and you get your story, and you get a clip for our radio show. So kudos to you, Jason.
What size do you wear? You don't have to say that publicly.
How much money do you make? And let me know what insurance program you're on with your family. This should be a great lesson for the Joe Barrys and for some of these other coordinators, that you can do your job, you can protect things, and you can form a connection that will give you more grace when you have something like that happen against the Bears. Because if that was Joe Barry, oh my God, can you imagine? Has anybody said fire Halfley after that? I'm sure maybe right after the game.
Sure.
But that should be a great lesson to be learned. And as far as the play, it obviously, the whole thing was disjointed. I think Bears, you didn't think they were going to get to move the football into that position. And then I think they just didn't think they could get a playoff. And I think they know it's 12 seconds. That's about that time. Because the Bears didn't even go. It's a church play. We called it a church play. Mm-hmm. Get the ball in the middle of the field, catch it, run, go to a knee quickly, hand the ball to the ref, sprint up the line, spike it, and get your guys out on the field. The Bears didn't even do that. The Packers allowed him to do it. So I think Jeff Halfley knows it was a mistake. And now the big thing is, it ain't happening again. We have this on tape. And sometimes failure is the best teaching method so it doesn't happen again. And I think that's the motivation and what Jeff Halfley's trying to get accomplished there.
Did you guys call it the church play because of the kneeling component?
Yes, that is exactly why. Yep.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. So I also understand that he knew the question was coming, but he does have to walk a line there, right? Because what he doesn't want to do is spend his 15 minutes with us when he has the challenge of this Eagles offense. And we ended up talking all Eagles the rest of the way. But the challenge, we're not, you don't want to spend time rehashing a game that not only did you lose, but it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah,
it was
over.
five days ago.
Yep.
We also did ask Rich Bisaccia about the punt return, and there were a series of questions on that.
You gonna be rocking any like Raiders hoodies or anything with him?
No,
or are you just your relationship is what it is.
I mean, again, speaking of coach interactions, last week for Bisaccia, I was late, which I wasn't late. He was supposed to start at 3:05. I walked in at 3:04. But he starts early. He's on Lombardi time.
I don't feel like you could have played for Lombardi.
I don't think I could have.
No. I think you need to play for McDaniel down in Miami. You show up whenever you want. If you don't feel like playing, don't. Like Tyreek. Is that a fair assessment?
I wouldn't quit on my team.
No, not quitting, but you show up. If you're going to get there, you'll show up right on time. And Lombardi wouldn't have been a good fit with you. Tom Coughlin, not a good fit. Bill Parcells, not a good fit. Belichick, not a good fit. All fair?
Yeah, very fair. Yeah.
Okay, Saban, not a good fit.
Could I have played for McCarthy?
No. I don't think so.
Why not?
Where are you playing?
I didn't know this was position specific now.
What are you, Jesse Nelson? You think you can go play shortstop for the Mallards? Like, what are we doing here?
Second base.
for one inning, and we would be fine.
Now that you're all slim, maybe you could go play an outfield.
Jesse's going to be a pinch runner.
I didn't get faster thanks to massive weight loss.
No, I'm sorry, but losing some weight is going to make it faster.
It is, no doubt. Anyway, we did address with Rich Bisaccia. Anyway, I was late last week because I was doing KBN. I thought I was on time. They started early, and while I was still finishing with KBN, he was making jokes at my expense about that I wasn't there yet.
He didn't like
wait
you.
For him.
He doesn't like you.
No, we're great. We're great. We are really good.
I think he does.
Now, he did like me a little. The bottom line with him was, and this is my fault for not knowing the dynamic, I asked him about Jeff Hafley, and he's like best friends with Joe Barry. And so I put him in an awkward spot, and he was pissed. Because what's he supposed to say about the coordinator that he works with vis-a-vis the coordinator that he was very close with? So that was on me. And okay. I didn't know that. Maybe if we spend more time with these guys, I'd be able to know that. Anyway, bottom line, they can't have the punt return thing happen again. They can't have what happened against the Bears happen again. And they have moved forward. The question I have, and we'll get into this coming up during the game preview, is what exactly are the Packers' advantages in this game?
Yeah.
Because I'm struggling a little bit to find them. So we'll address that during the green and gold preview. That's coming up next after Tausch tells us about what American Family Insurance has going on right now.
Okay, it is the season of giving, Badger fans, Packer fans, Wisconsin sports fans. And this year, you can double your impact for the thousands of children receiving top-notch care at the American Family Children's Hospital. Sarah and I, we have teamed up with American Family Insurance to raise funds for the American Family Children's Hospital virtual toy drive. Proceeds go towards therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients. And American Family Insurance has generously matched donations up to $50,000. And boy, are we close. We have until the 17th, which is next Friday, to get this done. And we are razors close. Head over to AmFam4Kids. That's the number 4 to donate today. Again, that's AmFam4Kids.org.
We'll get to the green and gold game preview next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Something special is brewing at ESPN Madison.
Swing and a fly ball to left, to the wall.
You're listening to Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
Time to waste. Let's get to the green and gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the green and gold game preview.
Wild card weekend for the Green Bay Packers visiting the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday, 3:30. Big game, Burkhart and Brady on the call. We'll see if Tommy can remember who the Packers have lost to this year.
Do you guys think this is going to be Brady's only season doing color?
No, I think he'll give it a one or two more.
I have seen people that have that theory, including people that know a lot about television sports media.
Don't you think it would be better for him to get Bradshaw out of there, put him in there with Gronk? Like him, Gronk, and Edelman? Like I think Fox should shake that thing up a little bit. Put those guys in there. Put old Olsen back in there with Berkey. And everybody's
Olsen's
happy
better. Yeah, Olsen's better.
Olsen's better. No doubt. His voice is a lot better. It sounds a lot like mine.
It's true. He's not wrong. Right?
I wonder if Brady's ownership with the Raiders is going to end up being what like kind
it
of
is.
Pushes
it's
him
problematic.
Over
There's no doubt about it,
it's
Jesse.
Definitely
you're right.
Problematic, for sure.
Anyway, enough about Tom Brady. Let's get to the green and gold game preview for the Packers and Eagles Sunday afternoon. What is the big storyline heading into this game, Tausch?
Before Tausch answers, his idea of putting those three together, like you could create an NFL version
of Inside the NBA with Ernie Johnson and Shaq and Kenny the Jet and Chuck, which would be really entertaining. So, yes. Again, it pains me to say this, but the delicate genius of Mark Tauscher strikes again. Now, please continue.
Okay.
Tauscher, what's the big story?
Tom Brady is in.
I feel like we need a reset on the Green and Gold game preview.
Yeah, to me, I think this is going to all be about can we force Jalen Hurts into some bad decisions. Philly's really good up front. If this is going to be a game where Jalen Hurts and the running game is going to really be good, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be a game where you force Jalen Hurts into some rusty throws, some bad plays, and Xavier McKinney has a day. I don't think if this thing is a clean football game, I don't like Green Bay's chances. I think had Jalen Hurts and this offense really been humming and they're playing great, I would say, nah, it's deuces B. They're better because they have more. Like, listening to Gabe in the montage, I can't argue a ton. They're better. They have bigger dogs when it comes to wide receivers. They have more stars that'll make these plays. But I don't necessarily – I would rather have Jordan Love as my quarterback, this even with maybe the elbow, than where Jalen Hurts is at. And if Jalen Hurts is careful with the football, this will be deuce. This will be Rap City USA for the Packers season.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on the other side of the ball in terms of the Packers offense because, as Matt LaFleur correctly pointed out, they've got studs at each level of their defense. And – you know, we talk so much about offensive line on this show when we have two outstanding former Packers offensive linemen. Is this group up to the task or not? Because, you know, forget about the Bears game for a second. The Vikings, they didn't eat the Packers offensive line's lunch.
Halftime lunch they did.
But they definitely ate some of their sandwich and their Cheetos and their dessert. Like a little bit of all of it. And even Zach Tom, who we all agree on this panel, and Bulaga too, think is really, really good. He wasn't that good that day.
No, tough and day. Tough environment.
They've got, and this is another tough environment. Maybe not as tough as U.S. Bank Stadium, but it's tough. So, to me, I'm putting it on the offensive line to be able to not only open holes for Josh Jacobs, but to give Jordan Love time to play like Jordan Love. And when we went through those numbers of the last Bears game of last season to close the regular season, and then what he did the following week against the Cowboys, he was on a hot streak, and he definitely is not going into this one. You better protect him to give him every chance to succeed. Next.
Besides Jordan Love, which player's performance is most important for the Packers to have success on Sunday, Tausch?
I think it's Rashawn Gary, and I think it's being disruptive in the backfield. He is. People can argue and debate. He is one of your Pro Bowl players. He's one of your core guys. And for as much as we love the playoff Bo Melton, and we love all these guys that will rise up and make a few plays, your dogs got to be dogs. And if you're going to force Jalen Hurts into some bad decisions, maybe get a strack, create some turnovers, your boys up front have to win. And yes, it'd be great if Brenton Cox makes a play or Enigbare or somebody else make, but I think Rashawn Gary, and if he ends up going over Lane Johnson a bunch, he's got to beat him. He's got to make plays. And if they don't, and it's not disruptive, and it's old boy sitting back there patting that pill and being able to take time to deliberate to make plays, it's going to be a long day in Philly if that's the case. So Rashawn Gary needs to be a field-tilting player, and we'll see if that is going to be in play.
So I'm going to cheat on this one, as I frequently do in the Green and Gold game preview, and this is a three-headed monster for me. And Tausch, you're right. I love Bo Melton, and I would love nothing more than for playoff Bo to have a 100-yard game like he had against the Vikings in the second-to-last game of the regular season, and then do what he did in San Francisco. He had a touchdown in that game. Like he's, if he rises to the occasion with added opportunity after catching only 8 balls all year, great. But this comes down to the three guys that are at the top of the depth chart that have been
inconsistently productive this season? Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Romeo Doubs. They've all had moments where they've been productive, and they've all had moments where you wondered where they were. Now, in Romeo's case, turned out he was at home, and then on Sunday he was sick. But Wicks has played probably the most consistently of any of them over the last 6 weeks after he couldn't catch a cold with all the drops he had. So how effectively are those guys getting open? And then obviously it comes down to Jordan Love getting him the ball. But as much as I want Bo Melton and Malik Heath to ride in on their white horses and save the passing game from Christian Watson's absence, those are your three guys that we've all said are capable of being number ones at different times. Are they going to be able to rise to the occasion in this game? I'm not sure they can. If they can, though, that gives them more than just a chance to have a chance.
Last up in the Green and Gold game preview, the Packers beat the Eagles for the second straight year, advance as the 7 seed out of the wild card round to face the Lions in the divisional round.
And then go to the Super Bowl.
Blank. Tausch, fill in the blank. How do the Packers get the win?
Jordan Love has to be the Jordan Love from last year at the end of the season. He needs to have a big boy game. And, you know, Jason just went through the wideouts, and as I'm sitting here, I'm saying, if that's the case, we're in trouble. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that is what's needed. I think it's Tucker Kraft. I just think Jordan needs to be on it. If it's dumping it to on screens, if it's, you know, going to Tucker, if it's going to Musgrave, Jordan just needs to be the guy that we saw at the end of last year. And why the Packers decided to invest the 55 plus is because they feel like Jordan can elevate the rest of his team. Consistently, he has not done that this year. That's probably why you're a 5-point dog heading into Philly. But Jordan Love needs to be, to answer your question succinctly, Jesse, he needs to be 300 with three tutters if they're going to beat Philly. That's what
he's going to be 300 with three tutters. Do the three wide receivers I just went through not have to? He's going to do it all to Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave and Josh Jacobs?
And Malik Heath and Bo Melton? Yeah, I don't.
Emmanuel Wilson.
I'm not sitting here saying, well, it's got to be Jaden Reed for $120. I don't care. Like, we have established this isn't J.R. Ewing's show. We are now in the maybe Gunther has to make a cup of coffee, go make a play.
Who the hell is Gunther?
Maybe Gunther's Malik Heath. Janice.
No, who's Gunther? Oh, from Fred's, the coffee guy?
We don't know the reference.
He works at
Central Perk.
You're not talking about the central cast. We have one guy that's out. He's injured. We have another guy that's been sick and he hasn't been able to play. You need guys to step up. If you don't get a surprise.
Brad Pitt and Tom Selleck in guest appearances.
Tom Selleck would have probably been better, but Gunther's been around longer. I think one of those guys has to elevate. It doesn't need to be Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed 100+. It can be spread it around.
Okay, get out of here. He's not throwing for 303 touchdowns if the three guys I mentioned aren't productive and aren't open. He's just not.
Productive is 30, 40 yards with these guys. I'm saying if you're expecting them to have a Jerry Rice-type day, 150, it ain't going to happen more than like
they don't. No, that's why I said all three.
Thumbs up. Look at that.
I have a different finger emoji for you
AI
right now.
AI says, old T's knowing what he's talking about there, boy.
I will play along with this ridiculousness and stay on the offensive side of the ball. And Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft do have to have big days. They have to be productive. Now, that doesn't mean 150 and two tutters, but the passing game, I have a sneaking suspicion that Vic Fangio has looked at the film of this team and said, we are not letting Josh Jacobs kick our ass.
Yeah.
We're just not doing it. And so how does that play out if that's the case? We're going to have to wait and see. But say what you will, I still don't know how the quarterback gets to 300 yards without those three wide receivers being more productive than just 40 yards for each of them.
If those three guys get to 100, it's doable.
And the other 200 yards are coming from Tucker Kraft.
Jacobs, Wilson, Tucker, Musgrave, Heath.
And Bo's got a 50-yard touchdown catch. All right, maybe.
Gunther has a big play. Those guys are going to be big play guys.
Stop saying Gunther. No one knows who that. I thought it was Ladarius Gunther covering Julio Jones.
Bad playoff memories there with Gunther.
Gunther.
Tell us about Fortrea so we can play trivia.
Now, if you're looking to get a cup of coffee at Central Perk and you want to get a little extra cash, Fortrea's got you covered. A couple of different studies. Healthy men ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study is one stay, 16 nights and a follow-up, and you can grab $8,075 for your time and participation. Another study, healthy adults ages 18 to 60. Women can be of childbearing potential, BMI 18.5 to 30. Study is one stay of 11 nights. You can grab $7,104 on your way out. FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Time for trivia. The Packers are the 7 seed going to Philadelphia. The category is the Philly Special, so caller 7 right now, since we're running behind schedule. Caller 7, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Summer will sound a little different on ESPN Madison next year.
Get up! Get up! Get out of here! Gone for Jackson Churio!
This is Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers. 100.5 ESPN.
How's it go, baby? Go, go, go!
Let's play some trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants. Boy, I hope it's not Vinny from Wisconsin's Morning News, because I don't think he's eligible. It is Vinny.
Oh, he would not be eligible?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd have to check with the rules aficionado, Jesse.
ESPNWisconsinContest.com for official rules. Vince Petrano of Wisconsin's Morning News would not be eligible to win Wilding and
Jesse, quick question. We had this come up when you were off Wednesday. Double trivia. Can they talk to the other player on the line for a phone a friend? Is that allowable if we continue to do double day trivia?
Your answer sooner rather than later would be preferred.
I'd go no, because that would be an unfair advantage. We don't like competitive
advantages.
They're helping
a competitor.
Yeah, yeah, we don't like competitive. Well, but then there's sabotage involved. I would just say let's not do that.
Doesn't that make for better drama?
It does. You're right. But I'd rather let Illinois people win first, so I'm working on that still.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'd really rather for Vinny in West Dallas as a first-time contestant can have success today. Vinny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you guys?
We are great. Philly Special is the category. Old T, am I doing all these?
Nope, I got it. All right, Vinny. Which series of iconic sports movies is based in Philadelphia? Is it Rocky, Major League, or last week's hit video, the 60-yard line?
I'll have to go with Rocky.
That would be correct. Mm. Nice.
Close, though. That was a close one. I'm surprised you got it right. All right, question 2.
The prequel, the 50-yard line.
I still don't know how none of you idiots knew that it was the 60, not our fans, you two. It was labeled on the Dropbox, 60-yard line. You guys thought it was Sandlot? I'm still amazed.
I never saw the Dropbox. And also, Jesse, the prequel to the 60-yard line is not the 50-yard line. The prequel is 4th and 26. Question 2 would be this.
That's rude.
No, it's not. You're a jack. Go on. You're a total jack.
Of all weeks, you want to bring that up today?
What a J-Wag. You're a J-Wag. Put J-Wag down under there. My bad, Vinny. I didn't mean to bring the thing. Jason just J-Wagged it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that hurt a little bit.
Not as much as it hurt, Tausch. Question number 2 is this. In which year did the U.S. Capitol officially change from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Washington, D.C.?
Good question.
Was it in 1776, 1800, or 1865, J-Wag?
I do not know this answer. Let's go 1776. Why not?
Mm. 1800. The correct answer.
Tough question, but informative, and you know I love that about trivia. All right, Vinny, let's get this last one. World Population Review ranks Philadelphia as the sixth largest city by population in the U.S. in 2024. Which of these cities is ranked ahead of Philadelphia with a higher population? Is it Phoenix, San Antonio, or Denver?
Denver. How about Phoenix?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well done, Vinny. So you end up with two out of three. That means you got three of the possible four entries into our drawing later in the show. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Go Pack, go.
Amen.
The 10 o'clock hour begins with our prize picks for the weekend. That starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.